paradox. You are the role of someone I should be able to trust, but you do things that I cannot trust. Parent, husband, wife, spouse, romantic partner, best friend, supervisor at work. How about a pastor at church? Hello. You are in the role of someone that I am supposed to trust, be able to trust, yet you do things that I cannot trust. This paradox makes it easy to be in denial, easy to be confused, easy to be angry, internalized anger. I have this negative feeling about you inside of me, but I cannot express it outside of me. This paradox makes it easy to be insecure because you are in a position that I'm supposed to be able to trust, yet I experience you as untrustworthy. I am Taylor Chandler. I'm a licensed therapist, host of this podcast, Boundaries and Grace, and leader of my practice, Reattach. My mission is to help you shift to secure attachment, uprooting anxiety and avoidance, replacing with clarity and peace. You will shift. Reestablishing trust and confidence. Okay, let's go over first the definition of emotional safety, which is this often overlooked but totally vital piece of healthy relationships. Emotional safety is the feeling of being able to be open and vulnerable. Y'all remember that from part one, right? Emotional safety is the feeling of being able to be open and vulnerable. I am able to be my true self and able to be accepted for who I am. When we are insecure in our relationships, we become fearful. Keyword for insecure attachment, fear. It's always a fear-based attachment. Remember also that emotionally safe and insecurity go together. So insecurity and fear go together. Emotionally unsafe and insecure go together. In other words, if you get one, you get the other. If I have insecure attachment, I also have a feeling of not being emotionally safe. If I have insecure attachment, I also have the experience of fear. It's not always that the other person is emotionally unavailable or is in some way abusive. It's not always the case, because we remember from the last part of part one that you can have the experience of being unsafe with yourself. And so if you are unsafe, emotionally unsafe with self, I cannot create emotional safety with you. Another way of thinking about that is I don't trust myself. I don't know my feelings well enough to confront my feelings or express my feelings. And so if I cannot do that with myself, I cannot do that with you. If that makes sense for everybody, you can just drop a yes in the chat if that's the case. If it does make sense. If it doesn't make sense, you can drop a question. So this leads, thanks y'all, this leads to blocks between us that we talked about in session one. Those are the blocks to vulnerability. So let's now start transitioning into session two. That was a very brief recap. Let's start moving into part two, reestablishing trust and confidence. When the privilege of connection has been disrespected, trust is broken. This is a huge block. When the privilege of connection has been disrespected, we have a block between us, and we could label that block broken trust. The privilege of connection has been disrespected. I now have issues trusting you. Trusting you how? I don't trust you to care. Maybe I don't trust you to show up. Maybe I don't trust you to be honest. Maybe I don't trust you to have my back. Maybe I don't trust you to keep me. Is anybody resonating with this? Renita is. Okay, I don't trust you to care. I don't trust you to show up. I don't trust you to be honest. I don't trust you to have my back. I don't trust you to keep me. Those are some examples of how trust, those are some examples of trust being broken. Everything I just said about I don't trust you to do this and that, that is insecurity. Okay. Whenever I'm having that experience between me and you, I am insecure. But when I don't get that text in time, is it that I really don't trust that you're honest with me? When you forgot my birthday, is it really about, is it honestly, think about it, is it really about the birthday, or is it that I don't trust that you're, that you can show up for me? So is it really that you didn't get me flowers, or is it that I don't feel prioritized? I get insecure about our relationship because I do not trust that it will hold, that it can withstand pressure. This can be with parents, friends, romantic partners, or at work, but the most distressing is within family and romantic relationships. When there has been a dropping, when there has been an attachment wound, when there has been trust broken, there's two things that happen after that trust gets broken. I'm literally thinking about those, you know, those like neon, like necklaces and bracelets, and you like click them together and you got to break it and then it makes it light up. That's like an attachment wound. It breaks and then it flames. Okay. It breaks. And you know, that crackling sound, it breaks and then it flames. And so there's two things that happen after it breaks and it flames. Number one, or two experiences that can come out of that. Number one, I project this experience onto a person who did not do the breaking. Number two, I can actually have an issue with the person who did do the breaking. We're going to talk tonight about number two, not about the projections from the past, because that's largely handled when you do your personal work and you truly let go of the issues from the past. We're going to focus on number two. We're going to focus on when you have an issue, when trust has been broken with someone who you have an ongoing relationship with right now or in the present. Is everybody clear on what we're on the focus tonight? If you haven't listened to about the number one, we're talking about number two, right? The issue with the current relationship, whether that is romantic or platonic, including familial. But about the number one thing, the unresolved issues from the past, if you have not listened to Let Go in it's season 8 on Boundaries and Grace, season 8, episode 10. I think it's episode 10. Listen to that episode, please. Okay. Please. All right. And then, you know, in the notes, there's some journal prompts in here as well. Okay. Thank you. There's some journal prompts in here that are going to be posted to Patreon. So let's talk about rebuilding trust and confidence when the relationship is ongoing. One of the things that makes confronting fallen trust, broken trust, one of the things that makes confronting attachment wounds is that there is a paradox. One of the things that makes it difficult to confront broken trust, one of the things that makes it difficult to confront attachment wounds is that there is a paradox. One of the things that makes it difficult to confront attachment wounds is there is a paradox, this experience, this feeling, this sense that this wasn't supposed to happen with you in particular. Paradox. It's one thing and it's also another thing, but these two things seem to contradict each other. Paradox. I have one fact and I've got fact A and I've got fact B, and they seem to contradict each other, but they actually exist with each other. Paradox. You are the role of someone I should be able to trust, but you do things that I cannot trust. Paradox. This is one of the things that makes it difficult to confront this issue. Does this make sense? That you appear to be, or you are in the role of parent, husband, wife, spouse, romantic partner, best friend, supervisor at work. How about a pastor at church? Hello. You are in the role of someone that I am supposed to trust, be able to trust, yet you do things that I cannot trust. So I have a paradox. This paradox makes it easy to be in denial, easy to be confused, easy to be angry, internalized anger. So if this feeling, this sense that I have this negative feeling about you inside of me, but I cannot express it outside of me. So I have internalized anger. This paradox makes it easy to be stuck. This paradox makes it easy to be insecure. Cure, because you are in a position that I'm supposed to be able to trust, yet I experience you as untrustworthy. You are in the role of someone who is supposed to be honest with me, but I have the experience of you of being dishonest. So this makes it easy to be in denial, makes it easy to be confused, makes it easy to be angry, makes it easy to be stuck, makes it easy to be insecure. Good journal prompt after this too. So make sure y'all, you go and look at the written notes. If you're relating so far, you're thinking of an attachment wound that has not been covered sufficiently. Remember that word sufficient. It hasn't been covered sufficient. This means that the response sufficiently. This means that the response of this person has not met your standard of care. The bracelet, the necklace was broken. It has been inflamed, and the care has not been sufficient. The flame has not been quenched. It's still burning. We said scab. I use a lot of metaphors. Okay. I use a lot of metaphors. Are you following? So this is the scab, the thing that has not been covered sufficiently. So reestablishing trust and confidence in an ongoing relationship where there wasn't a sufficient cover, but there was broken trust, there was a wound, something was ripped open, someone was dropped. And now when we still have an ongoing relationship, so how do I reestablish trust and confidence? I need to be able to trust this relationship can meet my standard of care. That is authentic trust between us, is that I actually believe that you can meet my standard of care. So we need to be able to get to that point. And confidence, I need to be able to be fully myself in this relationship. Whenever I have a relationship that requires me, compels is a better word, that compels me to hide parts of me, kind of like that anger towards you because I'm afraid of expressing it. I feel it's not appropriate or safe to express it. I shouldn't feel these feelings, and so I keep them to myself. Whenever I have a relationship that compels me to hide parts of me that actually exist, I lose confidence. My self-esteem gets chipped away. I become smaller. Okay? What's our word for that? It's insecure. If there is any relationship that I have that compels me to hide away certain parts of me, I will have insecurity in that space. The space between who I really am and who I feel I have to be with you. This is good. Yep. Cassandra, thank you. She says, thanks to the last Zoom, I realize I haven't felt validated and therefore I feel unsafe in expressing myself. Super helpful. Good. Tiffany says this is good. Y'all, I think this is good. Okay, so let's remember the definition of emotional safety. Cassandra just had brought this up in the chat pretty much, right? Emotional safety is the feeling of being able to be open and vulnerable, where I'm able to be my true self and be accepted for who I am. When we are emotionally safe, listen to y'all, when we are emotionally safe, we are confident. When we are emotionally safe, we can freely trust. If there is a lack of safety, there is fear. If there is a lack of safety, we cannot trust. If there is a lack of safety, I am less confident. If there is a lack of safety, I cannot be fully myself. If there is a lack of safety, I am insecure. If there is a lack of safety, there is a space between who I really am and who I think or feel I have to be with you. Okay? Remember those words, punishment and rejection from part one. So I really have the experience of being punished or rejected by you when I have expressed myself, or I perceive that that will be the consequence. Let's talk about steps to reestablishing that trust and confidence. Number one, come out of denial. Number one, come out of denial. Remember, denial easily exists when there is a paradox. When I'm supposed to be able to be intimate with you, I'm supposed to be able to be safe with you, but I can't. And so easy to be in denial about how problematic that relationship really is. So number one, we've got to come up out of denial. Confront the reality with yourself that this relationship is not healthy. It doesn't mean you have to throw somebody away, but it does mean we need to be able to call a spade a spade. It can become healthy if both people are able and willing to make it so. But it cannot become healthy if you do not confront the reality that the relationship has been compromised. Okay? That never works. It does not work. We cannot ignore it. It just gets worse when you ignore it. What has been compromised? Trust has been compromised. And when trust in a relationship has been compromised, y'all, that is the bottom floor, the ground level. That is the lowest standard. We got to stop thinking about, let me not go on a rant. I might. Being able to trust someone is not a lofty goal. It is the basics. It is the bare minimum. It is the entry point. It is the ground floor. It is the don't pass go until you do this. Trust is the most basic part of having a relationship with somebody. Basic. One of the issues with even accepting that is that when someone is so used to functional relationships, trust seems like an add-on. Trust seems like I gotta pay more for it, rather than seeing it as something that should be embedded in every relationship that you are invested in. Trust is the basic ground floor, the standard, the entry point. No one gets past go without establishing trust. So when trust has been compromised, it's a big issue, because that means that we on the ground floor, we have a break in the foundation. We have the floor is falling out. So we got to come out of denial. You got to confront the reality that the relationship is not healthy. It can become healthy if both people are able and willing to make it so. Number two, to reestablishing trust and confidence. Number two, express the wound. Express the wound. One definition, like the literal formal definition of express, is to squeeze out. I need to express the wound. Squeeze out. You are literally squeezing out. Is it figuratively? Whatever. You are squeezing out. Semantics. Squeezing out the pain and making it known. I have to be able to express the wound. Squeeze out the pain and make it known. This is why something like reattach is very helpful. I need you all there. By the way, are you coming to the attachment workshop on Friday night? It's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. It's free. You should be there. 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. There's the link. You should be there. I'm going to give something away at the end. I'm really excited. Anyway, so when you squeeze out your pain and you make it known, we need to be able to do it effectively, because these are fragile moments. Remember, one of the reasons why it's two big reasons why it's fragile. One, because it's the foundation. So we've got to get it right. And number two, because there's probably a big disparity into what one person thinks the relationship needs and what the other person thinks the relationship needs. It's a fragile moment because we're having miscommunications. It's a fragile moment because someone's going to be required to take accountability for something that they did that hurt you. It's a fragile moment because in pain, people communicate very poorly. It's a fragile moment because the trust has already been broken. I already don't feel safe. And so now I have to share my wound with the very person that helped to inflict this wound. So it's a fragile moment. So we need good communication. So I need you to join Reattach so that you can learn how to do this in real life. Okay. Expressing emotional needs, de-triggering, all that kind of stuff. Because people communicate the worst when they're triggered. And it's a paradox. It's interesting how people communicate the worst when they are triggered. And it's the most important time to communicate well. Especially in intimate relationships where you want to keep the relationship going. So it's a fragile moment. So it needs good communication. And most importantly, I know I made that seem very important, but even more important than this, you need to be able to self-validate. Without self-validation, you're in a risky situation where if the other person does not validate or care sufficiently, your wound is left unaddressed. So I need to be able to validate my own needs and my own experience, because if invalidation happens again, if withdrawal happens when I try to come forward with my wound to express it and squeeze it out, and you leave or you invalidate, you hurt me again. And I have not validated myself. Well, now I have a re-traumatization where I'm here trying to get this right with you because I'm hurt. And then if I don't have a strong enough sense of myself, a strong enough core in me, then when you knock me down again, I'm toppling over again. A word for that is re-traumatization. So I need self-validation first and foremost. That's primary. Okay. Is everybody following so far? When you have an attachment wound that needs to be addressed, you should be aware of the role of hyper-independence, interdependence, and codependence. Okay, let's talk about hyper-independence. Hyper-independence, why do you need to be aware of that? Because hyper-independence takes self-validation to the extreme. Listen to me carefully here. Hyper-independence takes self-validation to the extreme. If you really do not care how the other person responds, you do not have a relationship. So if you back this thing up 5 minutes, I've said something like, I need to be able to validate myself so that my confidence is not compromised. That's called security. That's called confidence. Hyper-independence is literally not caring how you respond. Like it doesn't really matter to me either way. That energy is different than it matters to me how you respond because I care about how you respond. But even if you don't, and I have a preference for how you will respond, but even if you don't respond the way that I would prefer, I do not lose any part of me. That security. Hyper-independence is, I don't care how you respond. I don't have a preference anymore for how you respond. At this point, I am just getting off my chest how much you've hurt me. That's not the same thing. I just want you to feel what I felt. That's not the same thing. Because the conversation turns into reading out someone's list of offenses and you're cold before you even start. Codependence. Codependence is on the other side of the spectrum from hyper-independence. Codependence is on the other side of the spectrum. Codependence is when you don't consider your own feelings enough. Codependence, you don't consider your own feelings enough. You are totally in the other person's hands. If they care about the wound, then you feel better. And if they don't care, you're in distress. So when I'm expressing my wound, I want to be aware of where I'm at on the on this spectrum. Those are the two extremes of the spectrum. So we want to be in this sweet spot of interdependence. Interdependence in this context allows you to be confident that what you're saying has value, regardless of whether someone agrees. That was the security. That was the confidence that I described about 5 minutes, 4 minutes ago. That is the confidence. That is security. That is also interdependence. Interdependence allows you to be confident that what you're saying has value, regardless of whether someone agrees or not, but you want to come into agreement with that person. I have a preference. I have a desire. Okay. You are open while you hold yourself in at the same time. You are open, but you hold yourself in at the same time. I am open to you, but I am holding myself in at the same time. Let's see if we're able to meet in this moment. But if you stay back, I'm not coming out of myself to chase you. And if you come forward, I'm not going to run from you as if I don't want you. And maybe I really don't want you, but I'm going to hold myself in place while I remain open to you. Interdependence in the context of a relationship where we're trying to reconcile trust, where we're trying to bridge the gap between us. That is the role of an interdependent position. Last point. How interdependence supports trust and confidence. When I am in this position of interdependence, which is the position of being securely attached and being interdependent go together. Okay? That sweet spot in the middle of our spectrum of hyper-independence and codependence on the other side, interdependence is your sweet spot. It's the same concept as of dismissive avoidant on one side, hyper-independent, anxious, preoccupied on the other side, codependent, secure in the middle, interdependence. Y'all got that? So how does interdependence slash how does secure attachment support trust and confidence? I feel confident in maintaining my experience because I trust my thoughts and feelings. I don't leave it up to you to tell me if my thoughts and feelings are okay. And I also don't fear you so much that I give you no opportunity to support me. I don't hold in this position when you're trying to reconcile. I do not, cannot, because if I actually do it, then I have an issue. I cannot hold the break against you. But I also realign to my responsibility to validate myself. So I do not punish you for the break. And I also don't rely on you to build me back up. I don't hold it against you. But I also realign with my responsibility to validate myself, which is where the responsibility lied in the first place. It doesn't mean that it's not okay to have expectations for people, because it is. You have standards, expectations, and all these things for people when you're in mutually agreed upon relationships. It makes sense that you have those things. But when your self-esteem is wrapped up in whether or not someone does or doesn't do what you would like them to do or need them to do, that's where you become in trouble yourself. So I have to allow the opportunity to trust you. I have to allow the opportunity to trust you. I have to create the opportunity within myself to trust you, to respect and validate my experience. I have to open up that opportunity. We don't necessarily have to ultimately agree on, you don't have to agree with my experience, but both people need to be able to feel seen and heard either way. Sometimes someone's just not going to agree with an ongoing relationship that you have, or someone's not going to agree that things happened the way that it did, or that they would have felt the way that you felt, no matter how well you explain it. So the goal cannot be that we mirror each other, because that the stakes are way too high. That's not a reasonable goal in a dynamic human relationship where you got two different individuals with two different minds. Okay, it's not realistic. So the goal is not to mirror, but the goal is mutual understanding. And we've got to be able to validate and empathize with each other so that one or both people don't feel alienated from the very person that they need to be able to turn towards and find safety with. So if you're not able to connect again and reconcile that gap, that's where boundaries need to be put in place, because we need to create healthy space between me and you so that your you does not put me in distress, and where my me does not aggravate you because we're misaligned in such a way that we're not able to make the compromises and negotiations for each other. So that's where we stop trying to, we don't try to change the other person. You don't have to feel shame about not being what someone else wants you to be. Okay. If you or the other person is not able to make the adjustments, that is the role of boundaries. Insert boundary. I need space between us to where, so that where your you distresses me, we do not have contact in that space. Now, the specifics of that, the specifics of the boundary, that's something where like the boundary playbook can be helpful. And again, Wednesday on March 22nd, we're doing the Boundary Live Masterclass. The playbook's only $12. And when you purchase it, you get put on a separate email list that only gets updates about when these live boundary masterclasses are. So if you don't have it, recommend you getting it. And then we'll talk about the specifics of the boundaries on the 22nd. Y'all, that's the episode. Y'all, this series is deep and there are some complexities in it. So I am providing a space so you can ask questions and a private Q&A that will be available for my Patreon reattachers. That's the $5 a month tier on Patreon. That Q&A is going to be on Sunday, March 26th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also think about joining that low tier of the Patreon as a way to give back to the podcast, the $5 a month, just a drop in the bucket that shows your support for this information if it is helping you on your journey. The Boundary Playbook is linked in my show notes below. The Reattach program is as well. I hope that you find all of these resources available, and I hope that you get into a room with me soon so we can move you right along. I'll see you next week.